The low-ceilinged living room was lit by a series of candelabra, each filled with scented candles. It reeked of sandalwood and patchouli. The room was barely big enough to contain a threadbare sofa and duct-tape-patched armchair. The sofa had a big sag in the middle, and the armchair's arms were splayed out wide. The doorways leading to bedroom and kitchen no longer had doors, but they still had hinges and pins. Doors opening and closing would have restricted the interior space even more.
Thanks for hiding us.
Wouldn't have done it for anyone else. But you saved me from some serious hurt earlier, and I figured I owed you a return of the favor. What are you doing hanging around here after dark anyway? Don't you know any better?
Zeal kidnapped the rest of our crew and took our convoy's wags. We thought we could spring them from jail tonight, but they aren't there.
Oh, then those were your friends I saw getting dragged out of the cells about an hour ago. Zeal himself took them away in a bunch of transports, and that's never a good sign. I hope this don't sound too harsh, but if they aren't back by now, they may never be back.
We can't go unless we know for certain. So do you mind if we wait here a while until we're sure? We can keep a safe watch on the jail from that window.
Stay as long as you want. I'd say make yourselves comfortable, but that's near impossible in this dollhouse.
Hey, who's she?
Who?
Her, in the poster.
A torn, fly-specked color poster tacked to the wall showed a generously built woman, dressed in a black fringe leather jacket, half unzipped to show off her considerable cleavage, skin-tight black pants, and black spike heels. She had long, flaming red hair, dead white makeup, big painted lips, and a microphone in one hand. The position of her legs gave the impression that she was dancing up a storm while she sang. On the stage behind her were grinning male musicians in broad-brimmed hats and string ties.
Oh, I don't know who she is. Her name was ripped off at the bottom of the thing when I got it. But she must have been a great big singing star before the nuke cost. I think there's a resemblance between me and her. Do you see it?
Oh, yeah. I think I do. Oh, sure. You could have been sisters.
Say, if you don't mind my asking, how'd you end up in a place like this?
Oh, sad story. At one time, I had my own traveling show. I sang and danced, and I had a 5-piece orchestra backing me up. Even had some comedy acts in the show. A bat-eared boy and a pinhead who ate live chickens. We worked the southern baronies for years until the show fell on hard times. I ended up signing on with Gert Wolfram as a featured entertainer in his Deathlands Carnival and Freak Show. Rode with him for a couple of months before he made the mistake of pulling in here. Zeal held old Wolfram and his old carny hostage. Wouldn't let it leave without the payment of ransom. In return for safe passage out of town, Wolfram handed his best acts over to the barons so he could use them in his gaudies. One of them was me. Now I'm just a bird in a poorly gilded cage.
Big Dumpling's eyes suddenly widened. For the first time, she seemed to notice the boy, who was taking pains to keep his back to the far wall and his face hidden behind Poet's back.
You keep that nasty little beast away from me. He's always sneaking around the gaudies. Won't leave the working girls alone. Dirty pawing hands. Always trying to insinuate them where they don't belong, if you know what I mean. Like the brat actually knew what he was doing.
Oh, maybe you want to try me, Dumpling?
Hey, watch your mouth, you little shitball. Didn't your folks ever teach you to be polite?
Got no folks no more. Both of them got themselves chilled last year. Pop got his in the refinery. Something fell on him, they said. Never saw his body. Mama got hers in the gaudy. One of the bosses, high on jolt, cut her up good. I saw her after. My mama died plenty hard.
Gaido's eyes darted to the sheathed panga.
What are you thinking, boy?
What do you think, stoop? I scouted for you. I brought you here safe, just like I said I would. So, now it's your turn.
I'll give you the blade, because that's what I promised. But you take good care where you stick it, understand?
Oh, yeah.
Here. You better watch where you swing that thing.
Yeah, you get too close to one of us, it might wind up sheathed in your ass.
Oh, it's not for you. I got big plans for this blade.
You shouldn't have given it to him. He ain't gonna live out the night.
This is one rad blasted rough ville.
Why do you stay here, then?
Because it's way better than what I had with Wolfram. Zeal lets me dance and sing. Oh, those creeps stopped the act before I had a chance. Gert, he'd make me do things with some of his other attractions. And he'd make folks pay to watch us through peepholes in the sidewall of the tent. He had a couple of swampies that would take turns. It was no life for an artiste.
It was all starting to make a little more sense to Ryan. Strange as it seemed, there was safety of a sort inside the barricade of Virtue Lake. You sure didn't have to worry about rad-mutated beasts dragging you out of a sound sleep and feasting on your heart and liver. Maybe the workers hadn't all figured out that they were never going to leave here alive. Maybe they didn't care. Maybe they were just looking for a moment of calm. At least life was under somebody's control in Virtue Lake, even if it was a madman like Lundquist Zeal. And if there was endless brutal work, there was a steady supply of booze and women, unlike farming or trapping or mining in Deathlands, in which there was no reward for one's daily toil except the sight of another sunrise, and nothing to look forward to, but more of the same until you dropped stone dead.
Sounds like we've got us some wags coming by.
Let's check it out.
Ryan followed Poet and Hunt to the window. As they watched, a line of transport wags pulled in beside the jail and stopped. A hot pink Lincoln brought up the rear of the file.
Looks like your friends made it back after all.
Secman opened the rear doors of one of the wags, and men and women in chains were forced out at gunpoint. None of them had boots.
Look, there's JB, and Sam's right behind him.
The jailers held open the cell doors while the Secman kicked the prisoners into the pits. One by one, the transports were emptied. Finally, the last crewman was dragged out.
I didn't see Traitor.
Neither did I.
He could be in that long pink wag. Can't see inside it because of the armor plate over the windows.
That's Zeal's personal transportation. It's blaster-proof.
If Traitor's inside, you can bet he's working some kind of angle on Zeal.
Traitor could also be dead.
Whether he is or isn't changes nothing. We've still got to get the crew out of those cells and free the wags before we can stick it to Zeal. I say we do it in just that order. Break the crew out of jail, round up some weapons, then take the convoy back.
Won't work.
Oh? Why not?
The jailers are done with their supper, and now they've got their duties to attend to. Lots of prisoners to abuse. We're not going to get close to the cells without their seeing us and starting a firefight. A firefight will bring all the Baron Secmen down on us, probably before we can free everybody. Certainly before we can gather up enough blasters to fight back.
Okay. What do you suggest, then?
We've got to face facts. As things stand, we can't rescue the crew. And without the crew, we can't free the wags. So we've got to forget about both of them for the time being and take another tack. What we need is a bargaining chip. One so big that Zeal will have to surrender to us or lose everything he's got.
It can't be a bluff, though. We've got to be prepared to follow through all the way.
I agree. If he calls us on it, we have to blow up the refinery.
Serve the twisted son of a bitch right.
Oh my, you folks are really scaring me now. I don't think I want to hear any more of this. No, I'm sure I don't want to hear any more of this. I'm going in the bedroom for a quick nap. Just close the door after you when you leave.
Thanks for your hospitality.
The hefty songstress didn't turn, didn't speak, as she disappeared through the doorway. She just waved bye-bye over her shoulder.